Hello and welcome to The Empire Strikes Back, a UK-based New York Yankees podcast. It's been a while. We said we'd come back. We lied. We cajoled. We travelled. We did many, many things, and we haven't done another one. And, you know, this season's been such a cause of such celebration that we couldn't wait to get back and discuss it again. So I'm Rob, and I'm your host for tonight, and I've got two of the Motley crew with me as other people cover the earth, and Kev's traveling around representing Scotland in places where they don't drink iron brew. So tonight with me we have David Andrews. Dave, how are you, mate?
I'm doing all right, Robin. How are you doing?
Yeah, mate. Well, thank you for asking, sir. You know, it's been those of you who don't know, I work in like university sector, and it's UCAS season, so I'm going to open days with my daughter, so it's it's nice to be at home to podcast for a little bit anyway. And the other guy with us is the one and only Blakey. So how you doing, Mark? You're right, fella?
Not bad, thanks, Rob. Last time I saw you, you were wearing a bright yellow Savannah Banana shirt.
I did, and tonight I'm wearing the blue Wahoos. I do, you know, there's no secret that I love my minor league baseball. And, you know, interestingly, because last time Mark and I saw each other, and sorry, Dave, you weren't there with us, but we were at the MLB London series, and I put my Bananas t-shirt on, and you didn't see me very long, Mark, because in no way or shape or form did my wife and son and I go down to take better seats down the front because people hadn't filled them. We did not do that. We are absolutely not those kind of people. But that may or may not have happened. But wearing the Bananas t-shirt, not bananas, by the way, the Bananas t-shirt, seemed to be quite a thing, and I had groups of people taking my photo with me because I was wearing this Bananas t-shirt. And I got about 20 people on the day approach me about the t-shirt. So it was weird, and I would love to tell you that it was a genuine Bananas t-shirt, and it absolutely was. In no way did I get it from Redbubble.
I saw you then. The crowd looked around, and then about half an inning later, I looked around for you, and you're gone. Second inning as well.
And it was, and so those of you who don't know, so we've had the London series, and we'll talk about Brew, but yes, so the London series, if you don't know, when you go, because of the nature of baseball, you get to have a wander round. And on the first day, we had a wander round, and it was nice. And the second day, we wandered a bit further behind the Cards dugout and stuff like that, and there were some seats in the, I would guess, the £150 a time area that no one was in. So we chanced our arm, and that's where we watched the second game, and it was fantastic. But obviously, that's stealing and terrible, and I would not recommend that.
I'm just still got that thought in my head.
I wish I had done that. I didn't do that until about the eighth or ninth inning.
Just thinking of you and people taking you in the yellow t-shirt, is that going to be a Specialist Magazine top shelf far left?
It is. Bananas Monthly, the Chunky Bananas Monthly. That's where it's going to be. So, yeah. But what a great weekend. I mean, and it was. And it was one of those that when it came to the weekend, and there's lots of podcasts and lots of people talking about it, how good is it going to be? How good was it going to be? And I'm sorry you weren't there, Dave. But it was, and Mark and I caught up with each other on the Saturday. We saw each other at Trafalgar Square. And if those of you that weren't there, they had some great stuff going on at Trafalgar Square. Mark and I saw each other in the pitching cages rather than the hitting cages. And we looked world class. I think I certainly pitched it a good 12 miles an hour. And that was absolutely fantastic. but it was great, wasn't it, mate? Oh, no, we've lost him again. No, his sound's gone again. So,
I was just going to say, my observation from afar, it seemed to be that Trafalgar Square was the difference this time to last time. Okay, last time I was more interested in seeing my team, but this time it seemed to just fill out the weekend really nice. And, you know, as many people were talking about the Trafalgar Square as the game, I was watching it on BT Sport, so pity me having to put up with Craig Doyle. But the aside seemed to be that they were focusing a little bit on the empty seats when, as you're saying, you know, we're watching the Yankees now, there's empty seats, people wander around. get over it. But there's, you know, there just seemed to be a good, you know, a good vibe all the way through. And there were two, you know, reason, you know, two interesting games, and it just, the weekend just seemed to really hit it off.
It was, and you know what? Because I thought there would be a lot more empty seats, if I'm honest with you, and certainly the second day. But it wasn't. There really, really wasn't. So I'd heard the people who said that. And wherever I looked, now the nature of baseball is that people move around. And I think that that's a really important difference. That I think if you go and watch a rugby match or a football match, you sit there, not even for 45 minutes or 40 minutes, you go out at halftime. The nature of baseball is you get up and you have a wander around. And I was quite disappointed to hear that people thought that it was quiet, because I thought the atmosphere was really, really good. It wasn't anywhere near as hot as the previous one. It was still warm, but it wasn't like a greenhouse. The catering, I think they'd done everything well. And I certainly wouldn't say that it was empty. Trafalgar Square was brilliant. And I saw John Goodman in Trafalgar Square on the Saturday. And that was amazing. But I didn't do the Friday like Mark did. We moved on, and Mark and I then went for a couple of pints in the Maple Leaf afterwards. But I think there will always be people that say the things aren't what you want them to be. I must admit, I thought Cubs Cards, I'm aware of the rivalry in the States, but certainly the number of Americans that were there really, really embraced it. There was a really, really, really good vibe. So, you know, maybe I'm, you know, rose-tinted glasses, but it certainly didn't feel empty in the stadium to me from where I was.
Well, it wasn't. They had the two biggest attendances they've had this year, didn't they?
At
the games. So it was definitely full. Unlike you, I didn't walk around much. I should have done. I didn't do until about the eighth or ninth inning, actually. I wish I had.
Yeah. No, it was it was great. And the atmosphere was great. And it was just a superb. It has to be said, the games were very different games to what we had last time. And I was talking to some Cards fans on the tube on the way into Trafalgar Square. And we were talking about Adam Wainwright. And let's be honest with you, that's a guy who should have walked away at the end of last year. He's nowhere near the player. And yet, still a privilege to see Adam Wainwright pitch. You know, still great to see Paul Goldschmidt. Still great to see these players. You know, watching Jordan Montgomery warm up in the bullpen on the Sunday lunchtime, you know, and stuff like that. It was great. And I think, I don't know about you guys, but I certainly booked our hotel for next year while I was in the stadium, because Mets Phillies, I think that's going to be a fantastic atmosphere. I imagine wearing my Yankees jersey, it's going to go brilliantly, and absolutely no one's going to say anything negative to me. So I should imagine that's going to be a really warm family environment for me.
But I only need it for one night.
Good job, well done. One night, yeah, exactly. but it was a good one, guys. So marks out of 10 for me. And I don't, I accidentally picked up an MLB sign. I don't know. I simply don't know how that happened. I wasn't pissed when we took that and then had to bring it all the way back to Leeds. It's not up in my office yet. But marks out of 10 for me, it was a 9 out of 10 weekend. I thought it was ace. What about you, Mark?
I'd go along with 9. I think the only thing I've got to think about for next year, and I do understand it to an extent, is the ticket prices, because they are high. They're still really high, and that is still a problem. It's still the issue that most people are sort of talking about. Having said that, still fill the stadium. And I do accept they've got to bring like the dirt across from the States. It costs to fly the teams out there and everything that goes along with it. So I understand how prices will be higher than a normal MLB game. I understand that. However, the differential in price is so stark that it is still pricing a lot of people out. And that's my only concern, as to if they're going to do anything on that. Are they trying to make money out of this series? Are they trying to grow the game? You might not necessarily be able to do both.
My comment as well, as someone that bought a ticket, wasn't able to use it, and people on a couple of groups will know that I was saying, you know, it was there. It wasn't, you know, I was thought it was strange coming up during the week that Ticketmaster wasn't doing a sell option. And then it was when somebody sent out a link on the Saturday morning to say there were still tickets going that you actually thought, yeah, actually just be in the stadium. Might, you know, I'm not sure next year because, you know, NFL game, Philly sold out Wembley, New York will sell out wherever they go. So next year might not be an option. So they might keep the prices high thinking that they're going to be a done deal. But that was just my observation on the random.
And I saw some tickets were available for £9, which I didn't pay £9. You know, I really
don't think any of us did.
But you know, and I think even, you know, I didn't even go for the cheaper seats, but I went not far off. And I think they were in the '70s. Would that be right? Am I wrong in thinking that? I think it like that.
Yep, that was right. That's what I paid. Yep.
Yeah. So that you know, but hey ho, here's hoping. Listen, it's an improving process all the way along. So let's go for that. You know what's not improving, guys, and I don't think the New York Yankees are improving. So we had a preseason show, and we were like, yeah, and I was, here we go, baseball's back, isn't it brilliant, changing the rules, we've got the pitch clock and the shift, and it's going to be amazing. And spoilers for anyone who hasn't watched any Yankees baseball this year, but it's not been amazing, has it, in all fairness? So let's start with you, Mark, and then we'll go to Dave. What are your main thoughts for the season?
Pitching, I've got no real complaints about. It's been okay. It's not been spectacular. We've had injuries. Don's been out. Tez has been out. Severino has been injured, came back, looked good, then didn't. By and large, the pitching, the bullpen's bailed us out on a few occasions. The real disappointment for me, as I'm sure you'll both agree with, is the offense, particularly the offense without Mr. Aaron Judge, where it has looked desolate at best. What was interesting was that I'm coming into the Oakland series recently. We had a WRC in the games prior to that of 71. Oakland, who were by far the worst team in baseball, had a WRC of 98. So our offense has sputtered dreadfully. And you look how many runs we score, it's generally around the ones, twos, or threes. And you ain't going to win too many games scoring that many runs. Rizzo's gone off the boil, certainly from a home run perspective. He hasn't hit a home run in about 115 at-bats now. Stanton sitting a buck 85. There is no one really other than Judge who, if I'm on the opposite side, I'm going to be scared of, who's going to really hurt us. There's nobody in that. And that's been the real disappointment for me. I'm going to need to address.
What about you, Doug?
We went into the season with a poorly constructed roster with no left fielder. I think we went in knowing that we had 60% of the pitching rotation out, and I think we've still got 60% of the pitching rotation virtually out. So, you know, to be over 500 this far into the season with those couple of areas, you know, is probably in some, you know, I think I was viewed as the negative one because I went for the lowest regular season wins. I'm actually, you know, it's been average, but I don't think it really, with where we are, anybody could think of anything better. Judge is unfortunate. We do seem to be picking up more than our fair share of injuries. I think we're highest in MLB in terms of days on the injured reserve. You know, I come back to previous years. We've always mentioned about that, you know, if our front office and our stats guys aren't the best, why can't we pinch somebody else's? The strength and conditioning guys also don't seem to be the best either. You can't, you know, Judge's injury, you can't, see that happening. But some of the others' pulls and strains, I think, is just down to poor conditioning, which I think is preventable. yeah, it's not great. It's been average, you know, two bottom place teams. We're 3-3. It's average. Every week we've been average. Boone has a blow up, tries to put something into the team. It works for a day, then it doesn't work again. There's something not right there somewhere, but we're still above 500 and still in the playoffs. And if you can see a hot team in September, nobody would want to play us in October. But that's a big if.
I think the strength and conditioning, we've said now for a couple of years that we've been doing this, pardon anyone who watches the Yankees, for a team that are so analytics-driven, so safety first, the best of everything, to repeatedly have injuries in the way that we do. And it's the nature of the injuries that are of a concern. It seems bizarre. Now I hear Boone saying that, oh, I've got the best strength and conditioning team in baseball. They're incredible. They're doing all this. But and it's hard to know what's going behind the scenes, because obviously it's physically demanding sports, you know, in the terms of the number of facets. But yes, the Judge thing is a disaster, and I think that's absolutely right to say that if you take him away, that's a worry. But you do get to the point where you think to yourself, something has to change here. Something has to change. Now, is it in the nature of the training? Is it the way that we rest players? You know, the second day, whatever it might be. But it just seems a bit odd. The area of concern that I have the most is actually the number of mistakes that are happening defensively. And that, to me, you know, you can have a cold bat and eventually you hope. And it's unfortunate not to have the bats come round at some point, but you hope at various points in the season. But some of the mistakes we're making, certainly in the infield, it just seems to be bizarre. But if you'd said to me at the start of the season that we're going to have Jake Bowers out there, you know, I would have said, there's no way that's the Yankee lineup that we're going out with. But the injuries have made that up. Let's look at one name that was the big thing, Volpe. Now, as far as I'm aware, 3 weeks ago, everybody wanted to drop him down and send him back to primary school and get rid of him. Where would you say, has he been a success so far? Or where are you on the Volpe situation? Dave?
Me first. He 3 weeks ago, didn't he have a conversation with somebody that used to be a coach at Somerset? And since then, he's been batting 300. Not somebody with the Yankees, someone lower down the Yankees organization, but somebody down there saw something in his stance and his swing that wasn't there last year. And since he put that right, he's been back. It's, you know, the shortstop for the Yankees after Jeter is always going to be the position under scrutiny. I remember Didi for his first 2 months, people want to send him back to, is it Tampa Bay we got him? Oh, it was
where? Reds.
Yeah, Reds. Just to say, because, you know, he was making errors, we got the youngest kid going, and, you know, it's going to take time. But I don't think he's certainly not the worst part of what we've seen so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, since he's changed his stance, it's significantly better. It was quite clear that the Yankees have decided we're going to stick with him. We're not going to send him down. We're going to trust the process, trust the program. Even if he's hitting a buck 90, we'll keep him in there. Defensively, he's been fine. The steals have slowed down, basically because he's not getting on base enough. But they've clearly made the decision, come whatever, they're going to stick with him. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Provided you've got enough elsewhere in the offense to pick up that slack. We haven't.
So where do you think that should be coming from? Because that's what I'm wondering as the O's load the bases. We're recording while the game's on. It's Aaron Hicks. So where do we think? Because Torres has been an interesting player defensively. And when I say interesting, I don't mean interesting. I mean expletives, I think, generally, from what I've seen. Where do you think, if you could remedy if you could switch out three players in the roster that you see the majority of the times, okay, so if you look at an infielder, the outfield, who would you take out right now? I think there are answers that leap out, and I think we can get on JD's back, and we, you know, whatever. But where do you see the key problems at the minute? Let's go with Mark to start with that, and then we'll go with Ed.
Certainly, we certainly need a replacement for third base. No doubt about that. And we need another outfielder. Now, I know they've kind of cobbled together a left fielder in mixture of Jake Bowers, IKF, others gone out there as well. Cabrera's been out there as well. So they kind of cobbled together a left fielder out of mishmash of players. But really, we need a third baseman to replace Donaldson because he's not batting, his bat's not enough, despite what he may think of himself. And whilst he's solid defensively, he's one of the gaps offensively that we need to rectify. That and an outfielder. But I can't see us picking anybody up in the trade deadline. You know, there ain't a great many decent third basemen out there. They don't grow them on trees. Outfielder, yes, you've got more of an opportunity. But I'm struggling on the trade deadline to think anybody meaningful who we're going to pick up, who other teams are willing to let go of. Unless you've got a team like the Mets or the Cardinals with decent players who are prepared to blow it up a little bit.
I did hear someone talking about the Cardinals, a certain Cardinals third baseman. Wouldn't he be a nice fit for the Yankees?
I mean, in the school of things that are never going to happen, like never, ever going to happen, that has got to be right up there in the things that aren't going to happen, isn't it, really? I mean, I think when we talked about Peraza at the start of the season, maybe they could give him some, you know, get him ready for third base and stuff like that. It just seems, having Bader back to me is a massive win.
Mm-hmm.
I think IKF actually has done so much better than anticipated. You know, I'm surprised with what he's done. And then when I was talking to those Cards fans on the tube, Bader gets injured, you just got to suck that up. Bader gets injured. You know, that's just it. In the same way they were saying that Goldschmidt doesn't bat in the winter, you know, in the postseason. It's just, you know, there were just certain things. It was really interesting talking to them. The area that concerns me the most is that second base kind of area, actually, that relationship with the shortstop. And there's just, in some of the games I've seen, I have nerves. I have nerves about Torres. I have nerves about Torres' bat, but I wouldn't want to trade. I'm not one of those trade Torres kind of people, but except at some point you've got to either tear it up to put it back together. But he is a player of concern. Would I like him? Yeah, so, you know, I'm not saying you've ever been in a relationship where you've not wanted to be with someone, but you don't want anybody else to have them. But it feels like a little bit, you know, when we've got Aaron Hicks with this, you know, he goes to the O's and he does quite well for a little period of time. There just seems to be, to me, if I could fix the strength and conditioning, which is a huge problem. But you're absolutely right. In terms of defensively in the outfield, there's concerns. So where would you, here's the name that I'm struggling with this year at the moment, and he's gradually getting his mojo back, DJ LeMahieu. Are we now at the stage where we need to give him a position and a role? Is he getting that bit older as a player where if you're looking for a third baseman, is it now not the time to give some consistency and try and build himself back up in that way?
Yes.
It's a decent option, Rob. Yes, I don't mind that. But the problem is he's one of the bats that has gone missing this year. Quite why, I don't know, because there's nothing particularly in his swing, in his approach that he's doing any differently from what I've seen, also from what I've heard from the podcasts and from Boone himself. He's the real mystery. You know, you take him out, you know, you've got Stanton hitting, you know, below 200, Donaldson not contributing. There's too many bats gone missing, and DJ is one of them. So I wouldn't mind putting him at third base at all, but his bat has not been there this year. So at the moment, he fits. It's the profile is there not at an element, the moment though, of that utility infielder.
Is there is not there, a moment though where you have to just stick with what you've got and hope that it gets better, and give someone a consistent position, and just like any sports, really, that you just have to at least go, right, you're the guy for now. Find your way out of it. This is your position. Whatever chat Boone had with Donaldson, works, didn't work. He's probably a better pitcher than he is a than he is an offensive player at the moment, even though we've got the home runs and stuff like that. I just look at it now and I think to myself, well, because if you were going to say, well, what are you going to do with LeMahieu then? Are you going to get a shot of him? Are you going to cut him? Are you going to trade him? You're probably not. You know, so what's the compromise? Do you write the season off and hope you have? Now, let's not forget, guys, that the AL East is a basket case division compared to everywhere else. Is that fair to say? Maybe the NL West is, you know, you know, and it, are we being unfair in trying to measure this team in this division? Although, obviously, the change in the fixtures means we play everybody equally.
I think it's almost two different things here, Rob, isn't it? Yes, we've got that division where everybody's going to take games off everybody else. So, you know, whereas you would hope that the second and third wild card would come from the AL East, it ain't going to, because there's going to be games taken off. The point about, you know, the squad, again, come back to how the roster is put together. Everybody's got a role. You need your home run hitters. You need your contact hitters. Last year against Houston in the playoffs, when all the bats went cold, one of the comments was, well, we didn't have DJ, so we didn't have anybody that was almost getting the bats. Well, we've had DJ this season. His role is the contact hitter. We haven't got any contact hitters. I'm just having a look today. The highest average of any batsman playing today is 266, and that's Rizzo. And he's, you know, but he's largely the home run hitter. So now you've got Judge, Stanton, Rizzo in your thing as your home run hitters. But now you've seen, you know, everybody else, Volpe, you know, he's almost like turning into a semi-home run hitter. You've got Bader is turning into a home run hitter when he's fit. Nobody's playing that contact role.
That's true. It's very, 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 very fair comment.
And I don't know who we've got that is that contact role. You know, IKF, batting 260. He seems to be the club man that any club would want, because it's basically, I'll play for you wherever you want me to be. I just want to play. And whereas last year he was derided, this year it's like good old IKF.
Yeah, yeah, he's our best mate. Yeah. But Trevino this year, what do you make of where Trevino, I mean, Trevino's bat's been, well, absent. I think it's fair to say, if you look at what he did last year, he was a surprise last year. And have we now got, maybe it's the analytics thing, have we now got players playing the way they naturally probably should, but we had extra from them last year, and has that been a distortion in what we're expecting?
Well, you say we had extra from them. We probably had extra from them in the first half of the year, and then apart from one person, we limped for the rest of the season. Yeah. And I think this year we've just got effectively X minus for the team that's performing, whereas, as I said, early part of last year was X plus.
Yeah, Trevino's that great example of somebody who maybe overachieved last year offensively, but then he knew he would, defensively he was very good. He was the antithesis of Gary Sanchez. He was what we wanted at that time. I still say you stick with the defensive catcher. I would rather have that defensively minded catcher and I'll suck up the offense. And he got enough offense to make it up. And it seems to be the theme of this podcast is, if you have enough offense to carry these other team players like Volpe or Trevino. But no, I'm still surprised that there's people talking about, you know, trading Trevino or going out in the trade deadline and getting another catcher. You ain't going to get another catcher in the trade deadline. No. There is nobody out there. You know, offensively, you've got two in the whole of MLB who you'd take, Real Muto, Will Smith. You know, maybe Sean Murphy, Atlanta guy, Travis Dono, possibly he's the backup at Atlanta now. He's a possibility.
Yeah,
but there ain't many catchers. So, and I would rather have that defensively minded catcher, provided you've got enough to suck up the offense. So, what you're seeing now offensively, I think he's hitting 549 OPS. That is probably his true position. but I'd still take the defensively minded catcher.
And I think equally, and we can go on to this in a moment, but the pitching isn't that much of a problem. The calling of the game is obviously something's going right there, because they you know, they seem to be offensively seem to be the problem. I just look at it, I look at Trevino and go, I was excited to see him again this year. And it's about tempering your expectations. And the question is, and Kev would be loving this, you know, because he's Kev. It's like, yeah, actually, at what point do you realise that the construction was so bad? You know, not so bad, because this is a nightmare division. I think, you know, to seem like it's end of the world, it's far from that, where we could well be after the All-Star break, give a good run, but you don't expect the Rays to be. Can they keep this up? I don't know. I mean, maybe actually they seem to be surprising everybody. So for me, you know, there are areas there. But if we can look at that fitness and conditioning, I look at someone like Jake Bowers, who has come in and done a really fair job. In all fairness, so let's just take a little moment, because Mark, you mentioned trades. Who do you think's out there? What do you think is realistic? Who would you give up and what would you get? Because I love it on Twitter, you know, when people go, what about this trade? And we'll give you Josh Donaldson, Peraza, and you'll give us Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani. Like, well, I can't believe you even bothered doing that. What do you think's out there?
I don't think there's a great deal. I think unless the Mets and the Cardinals decide to blow it up, I can't see the Mets doing that because they've got money. I can't see the Cardinals parting with people who just like Goldschmidt, like Arenado. They might pony up someone like a Tyler O'Neill or a Newbar, or they've got quite a crowded outfield. So they're one to maybe sort of look around for an outfield you might trade with. Okay, Oakland would sell anybody they could if they thought they could get, you know, price of a piece of popcorn for them. But there's nobody on Oakland you'd take. Kansas City, the same. Now they've traded Chapman. So I don't think the obvious sellers out there, there's nobody on those teams who make us any better. You're really looking for a team like maybe the White Sox, Cardinals, Mets, who may have somebody, a decent trade chip, but then they're going to want prospects back. So then you might be prepared to throw in a Peraza, a Cabrera, it depends who in our farm you'd be prepared to give up. Do we part with the crown jewels or not?
Cash has been very protective of the farm system. And again, at some point, if he's going to be that protective, you'd say, I want the farm system to start delivering to keep protecting. I was, thinking early on, if it was as bad as they thought, you know, would we look to blow up the squad? But hey, as I said, we're still in the playoff position. No, we're still above 500. And it is Mark's point, I can't see anybody better. And if we were to get rid of somebody, I think we would eat so much of the contracts. And again, it comes back, we've got a lot of very high contract people. Or do we do a Hicks and we just dump the money? I can't see anything out there that's going to make us better.
Yeah, I mean, either way, we need...
decent. Sorry, go on.
No, so we need an outfield. We need... But would you tear it all up? You know, would you give up the belief in the farm system, whatever you've got, for a season that just seems to be? You look at the Reds and what the Reds are doing this year. You know, this is a basket case season. I keep referring to that. But what would you give up? You know, to get O'Neill. Now, there's obviously a good trading relationship between the Cards and the Yankees. What would you give up to get O'Neill? Would you give up that much? I'm not sure you would you?
Oh, Neil. I mean, teams going to want people like Oswald Peraza. That's who's going to come sniffing around.
Yeah.
Maybe Volpe, if they think the Yankees are going to give up on it, but I don't think that's going to happen. So Dominguez is the one that is the crown jewel, I suspect. I wouldn't give him up for Tyler O'Neill. Personally.
No. No, I don't think you would. I mean, but the thing is, O'Neill's forcing his way out of the cards as well. Would you not agree? He's a player that doesn't want to be there. It all just seems to be. I think you could probably give up an IKF and two small pieces to get a player like O'Neill, personally. Because that's a player who's a little way up.
Yeah, I could see that.
And would you do that deal? I probably would. Because there's a need.
There's a need to shake things up. As I said, whether they're too comfortable, whatever, there's just, it seems too samey, too relaxed.
With the main query that I'd still have, O'Neill's been on the IL for the best part of the season, and I don't want to trade for another basket case from an injury perspective, because we've been there and done that recently. So now I know there's some talk about whether this is a phantom injury and he's doing this because he doesn't get on with Carlos Marmol, but I'd want to check what's the extent of that injury.
Well, what would happen is that the Yankees would then sniff his armpit, sniff the back of his knee, and say, "Oh no, he's absolutely fine. We'll sign him up and give up everybody," and then he'll injure himself brushing past the skirting board at Yankee Stadium, and then you lose him for a month. So that just seems to be the detail, the analytics. Go on, Dave. Yeah, sorry.
Smacks a 1970s match of the day.
Yeah,
somebody walks on with a sponge, and the whole world's put to rights.
Exactly right. So one of the things that did happen recently is that we had Domingo Germán, who, would it be fair to say, he's not a popular player. I mean, I think we've expressed our feelings on this chap and his behaviour. So he pitched a perfect game. And I've never felt more... anybody but him. I'm glad it was a Yankee, but even then, anybody. Where were you with that one, guys? Let's go, Mark, and then David, if you don't mind.
I felt exactly the same, and I'm sure MLB did as well. Remember, this is a guy who's been done for sticky stuff this year as well, once, but maybe also potentially another time as well. But the whole domestic abuse thing just kind of sticks in your core. You know, this was a guy who slapped his girlfriend around at a charity event and then scared her so much that night that she had to lock herself in a room to protect her from herself. So I was like so deflated by it in some ways. Like, you, it's just, why him? At the same time, by all accounts, he pitched very well. And he's playing for us. But I was so conflicted by it. I really was. Because I'm thinking, you know, when I dislike the guy, on the other hand, I'm thinking, what price forgiveness? Is there a case? What case is there for redemption? And these are the kind of philosophical debates I have in my own mind about it. And I found myself so heavily conflicted. I wasn't exactly sort of celebrating the perfect game. I haven't even watched it yet, to be honest. I will do it at some point, because I quite like the perfect games, and I've seen quite a few of the ones that have been televised over time. I've gone back and done the replays. But yeah, I just, like, woo, perfect game. It was for me.
I think I celebrated more the 11-0 win more than
the David, what about you?
The 11-0 win, yeah.
And to be quite honest, I think out of anybody that I was happiest for Higgy. And when it comes down to game management, the way he put it through, and it was like, you know, Higgy holds himself, portrays himself in a certain way that you think, yeah, that's, he's good. And to actually, you know, he should take a lot of the credit as well. And it was almost him that I was celebrating pleased for most.
I was, I'll tell you, for me, that's I was. I was like, well, it's against the A's, isn't it, as well, really. So that I'm not going to get, you know, it's against the A's, isn't it. But to do it throughout a whole game is an impressive achievement. So I have watched it. Higgy calls it beautifully. He pitches beautifully. It's the A's in it, you know, a bit. But what I thought there was a real opportunity. It was the next day, Yes Network the next day. Yay! And Meredith's there with the microphone. Yay! And I felt there was an opportunity there for the sport to go, okay, redemption, boys come back, boys done well. Read the room though. Let's talk about it. Yay! And not repeatedly go on and advocate it. You know, I think sometimes by not saying something, you say something. And that to me was maybe an opportunity there that I don't think they really grasped. I think they acted like, but I think Mark's point is absolutely right. At what point redemption? Well, you know what? That's just one of those things. I don't think there is actually, you know what I mean? I think it's, and that's a palate thing. I just felt that they were, I just felt, anybody but him. And it's a really, really strange feeling. And it's one that I think all of us involved in this podcast, I think we all, if you, you know, we haven't got, had Wardy on to talk about this, I'm sure he would certainly say the same thing. But yeah, well, let's see what happens. I just felt for the Yes Network the next day, that was the time to say, this is great. Well done. It is a feat. It is an impressive feat, even against the A's. Well done. Move on. And I think that would have been a really good way of managing it myself.
It will be the least celebrated of the Yankee four perfect games. Yep. And it will just, but I'm not sure if you know, it's too early to say it's a handing over the baton, but if they play any of it in future years, you're going to have Rucco and Shackle being heard on the commentary as opposed to Sterling and Kay.
It was. And I think you have to acknowledge the feat of it. But it was just one of those things that I felt. I kind of guess it sums up the season. You know, in a way, you're like, oh, for God's, why? Just why him? Why couldn't it? You've got Gerrit Cole. Why couldn't it have been Gerrit Cole? Why does it have to? And her man who has, you know, never mind the sticky stuff and being suspended, has actually been, you know, dog shit in some of the performances that we've actually, you know, really, really. And it's this, it's these extremes that this season's bringing out of me that I find quite disheartening and distasteful. And yet, we're up to the All-Star game. So we have you seen the rosters for the All-Star game? You know, I think it's quite, Gerrit Cole has made it. Is Aaron Judge going to play the All-Star game?
Not a chance. No, he won't play. He'll be selected. He's selected on the roster, but he won't play. He's not a chance he's going to play.
Yeah. That would be an absolute nightmare if that's the case.
If you said at the start of the season, name the two Yankee All-Stars for the All-Star game, you'd have picked.
I was just going to say, why, you know, I start getting worried when I get a notification come up on my phone that, you know, Judge could consider having surgery in the off season. Yes. And actually think, well, is he, I'm banking on everything on getting hot in September to have a run in October. That might, you know, all the noises about he's throwing and he's bitching and he's doing this. Just the words, you know, I might have surgery in the off season. Just says he ain't coming back this year.
No. So Trevino's just you've got the home run, by the way, which is ironic. Based on the conversation we've had, that's a big pile of sod's law there. So Judge's injury. Can we just confirm what it is? Is it the toe?
It was a, thought it was the torn ligament in the toe.
Torn ligament in the toe.
It's the, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I've one injury I've never done. I've no idea what that feels like. But
torn ligament in a toe. Now, obviously, I've never played baseball at the top level. That was quite the understatement. Torn ligament in the toe. I mean,
it's his right foot, Rob. It's his right foot. So it's apparently it's as he puts pressure. That's it. You're doing a batting stance, so to speak. If you put pressure on your back foot to get ready for the pitch, you're putting pressure on your back toe, on the big toe on your right foot. And that's the problem. And remember, he's about 6'14" as well. Yeah. So, you know, he's bigger than you, for goodness sake. So
I walked around on a double broken leg for 8 months and didn't know about it. What the bloody hell's up with the blood? You know what I mean? Just toughen up, you big tart. I don't get it. But anyway, we'll see if we get some back. Okay, so let's look. I mean, and seriously, double broken leg, by the way, hard as freaking nails, mate. All right, so don't mess with me, lads. So in terms of our expectations, we'll hopefully get together after the All-Star break. What's our expectations for the rest of the season? Let's just have a couple of minutes on that. What do we think we're going to get this season?
Second wild card.
Second wild card.
Completely yep. agree. I think that's exactly it. I still think we're good enough to get that. I'm optimistic. I think we'll get Cortez back. Rumours are there's a lesser spotted Carlos Rodon about to appear on Friday. So I'm kind of optimistic, I think, on that side. I think Judge will come back. Like you, I'd take an 80% Aaron Judge, which is still probably better. He'd still get his way into most starting rotations, starting lineups anyway. So, yeah. I'm optimistic. I think the second wild card. I think the Rays are too good. I think they're 9.5 games ahead of us. I think they've won the division. I'll give them that. And they're a good team. Yep. But I think second wild card, eminently within our reach.
So let's go for something random. And you're going to disagree with me, but here we go. At what point do the Yankees need to lift the mood that much they throw Dominguez in before the end of the season?
I can't see it. I think it's too early for him.
I don't know how he's performing. He's still at double A, isn't he?
He's Somerset.
Yeah, so he's still at double A, so I still think he's a bit off. And I don't know how he's performing at double A this season. I mean, spring training, from what I saw in spring training, I would have said yes.
I think gone is the day that you have to go to triple A to make that step up. I just wouldn't be surprised if they do something like that. So let's see. Okay, guys, listen, we're going to try and keep it to time. I think we're doing all right there. It's really good to see you again, and it's good to get back out of here, and we'll promise to do another one by 2027 because we know how much we've been missed. But just to finish up for me, you know, what I love to see is that so many people that never talked about baseball before are talking to me about baseball, be it the London series, be it whatever it is, that this almost dirty little secret that we've that we've had has become a thing. And you know what, occasionally some people have mentioned rounders to me, and that's fine, because that's very witty and I've never heard that before. But people are texting me about bars that are opening up, batting cages, and they watched the game and they didn't know what's going on. And if we can just grab some of that, then I don't know about you guys. I don't know if you felt that, but I really do feel that. And maybe it's because they're the audiences that I talk to, but that's where I think we're going.
Honestly, for me, I think the fact that we've got coverage, it's only odd games on the BBC, will be worth its weight in gold. And from a near perfect London weekend, I think families and youngsters will remember probably Trafalgar Square more than the game, but that will get them hooked.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going. You can see it. Interestingly, Jack, my son, who you met, Rob, he texted me the day, just went into a pub in Manchester and the baseball was on the TV. He's never seen that before. So I think it is starting to develop. Even on the train up from the London game, loads of people in baseball jerseys back on the way up to Leeds. So, yeah, I think it's definitely starting to take off, getting a little bit of momentum. So, very encouraging.
I heard a comment on Michael Schoke's podcast around that he couldn't believe the number of people around London in Yankee skin.
Yeah, and there was a lot, and there was a lot. And I can only put it down to one thing, chaps. And I think it was my 90-mile-an-hour four-seam that was in Trafalgar Square. I think that was the one, you know, not my slider, but I think actually my 90-mile-an-hour fastball, I thought was something special, and I think that will live throughout the ages. And it's a shame you can't televise stuff like that.
There were talent scouts watching that, Rob.
there was, but I broke my little toe, and it really affected my pitching moment from there. Otherwise, I would have made it all the way up to 22 mile an hour. You never know; it would have been great days.
So not only the yellow shirt, I can now see the Rob Rattray 2024 calendar coming out of baseball moves.
That's it. As I'm there, and I'm breaking out sweat, just. Mildly throwing a ball. All right, guys. Well, it's been a pleasure to see you again. And we'll do this again now after the All-Star break. Great to speak to everyone. If you want to pee, you know, obviously you would have noticed there's a few of us we struggle to get together. If you've got something to say, Yankees, you want to appear on a podcast and have a little go at it, drop us a line. You know, we're more than this is an open shop. If they can let the three of us on, by God, anybody can appear on this podcast and have a
Absolutely.
Go. And if we can, you know, the more of us that appear, the more of us that have something to say, the more fun it is, and the more shows we'll get out there. So, and certainly in terms of, you know, I've got some new books I want to talk about, which absolutely no one will care about. But the more of us that can engage with that, then we're for it. So if you are interested.
I know some of the Moansang on the Facebook Messenger group have actually been over for games this season. Yeah. So get their experience would be good.
Yeah. Yeah. There's you know, and it's a great fan base. So any of you want to appear, you know, I'm at Rob Ratty on Twitter. We know how to find you guys on there as well. I think we do this every week, but let's do it. Just let us know and you want to appear. It would be great to have you on. Okay, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, and we'll say good night.
Good night, gents.